future. He proclaimed the fulfilled prophecies of the Old Testament in his purpose, in his person, that is. But most of the time, Jesus was a teacher. Because if you see people addressing him in the Bible, they say, teacher, teacher, what do you say? They would call him rabbi or teacher. The Pharisees and Sadducees even addressed him that way. He was a teacher. He wasn't a hooper. He wasn't clowning. That's not preaching. What you're listening to is preaching. And that's why I'm taking this time, and I'm not going to shut up and get back to the preaching until you, hey, come now, let us reason together. All that stuff that you hear, now let me mention a few names. Creflo Dollar, that's not preaching. Just because he's prancing up and down, Fred Price, that's not preaching. You have to hear somebody break down the analysis, stick with the big idea. Who is this Jesus? Now, I bring in a lot of illustrations because when I see people drifting out in front of me, because they will drift, because quiet is kept, black people are not used to listening to lectures. We as a people at times want to be entertained. This isn't about being entertained. This is about listening to the Word of God, understanding why the man of God would bring this to you in this form. Now, some of you that are coming to my website for the first time listening to these things, you've never had a preacher talk to you this way. And I just want to share with you. You won't hear it because preaching today is not like this. Now, if you get into some, and I call it strange, if you get into a Church of Christ denomination, and I'm not saying that all those people are not Christians, I'm just saying you got to be careful which Church of Christ you get in. You know, that's the denomination that doesn't believe in having musical instruments and things like that. They have a few learned men. I've met some learned men in that particular denomination. But at the same time, some of their doctrinal areas are kind of screwed, but I'll leave that alone. That's neither here nor there. I want you to get into the habit of listening to someone that can teach you with intelligence as well as diligence. Well, I think I'm about ready to start on side two of this tape. So let's continue with Who is This Jesus? July 7th, 1985. And today is July 15th, 2008. Let's see what we can come up with as we attempt to come to the end of this. And I hope that you're enjoying this. I am, even as I listen to it. All right. It's going. Maybe I erase side two of the tape. I don't know. And listen, I like...
And the circumference.
There we go.
Christ is totally Christianity. That's why when he says, I am, I say, I agree. See what I mean? Jesus didn't say, I think I'm the light. I think I'm the way. I hope I'm telling you the truth. He said, I am. And then he challenges the church today to follow him. Jesus' whole ministry was one of a sense of fulfillment. I came to fulfill. We as Christians, seemingly at times, are not fulfilling anything. We do not understand the basis of our Christianity, the basis of our belief. Christian writer John Stott said these words of Jesus, "To know him is to know God. To see him, Jesus, is to see God. To believe in him is to believe in God. To receive him is to receive God. To hate him is to hate God. And to honor him is to honor God." That's what Jesus means to me. He is the basis of my belief. How true, John Stott writes. Who is this Jesus? My Christian life centers around him as the primary figure. That's why we come and we read the scriptures. That's why the prophet said, "Thus saith the Lord." All right? So who is this Jesus?
Before I go on, I'd like to share with you what I did. If John Stott made those words, I give his name. Brethren, when you're preaching and you come across a phrase in your study as you're putting your lecture together, don't state it like you thought it up, like you said it. You want to quote your sources. Trust me, the notes that I'm reading from, all of those thoughts didn't come from my head alone. It's from my gleaning as I read from others. I have in front of me Bible program on one of my four computers that are on. One of the commentaries that I'm reading from is the Geneva study notes that I'm reading on. I have the Geneva study notes, and I'm just going to give you like a survey, people that I quote from. And then I have the, what's the other one here? Adam Clark's commentary. And then another commentary that I have is Albert Bourne's commentary. And then I have the Family Bible notes. And then I have the John Wesley notes on the Old and New Testament. I have the Matthew Henry commentary. And I also have the People's New Testament. Another commentary that I use is the Robinson's New Testament Word Pictures. Oh, it doesn't stop there. I have another group. I have the Fourfold Gospel. And then I have the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. And then I use another commentary, the William Burkett's Notes on the New Testament. Now, that's just a few. Of course, with my other commentaries, the John MacArthur commentaries from the Logos Bible Study. See, I'm quoting from other people. Don't give your listener the idea that all these fanciful words are proceeding from your head. I was a student of the Word. I am yet a student of the Word. When you see my library, and I want to, you know what, I've been thinking about here in the year 2008, I want to find a room, and I like my garage study pretty good, but I want to find a room in the house where I can have all of my books surrounding me. And I am seriously thinking about that, and so that I can do study like a hermit and just get into this Word of God, and so that my preaching will become more and more pristine. Brethren, as you preach over the years, your study habits become better and better as you spend more time in the Word. Just wanted to let you know that when you hear me quote someone, when you quote someone, quote them. Put that quote in your outline itself. It's important that you do that.
He speaks of himself as I am, and we have studied that. Now, what did his contemporaries say about him? Not these in our text who were biased. Not these in our text which were religious leaders without the true knowledge of God. And you know, we have them around us all day today. Speak loud and long about Jesus and live completely opposite of what Jesus teaches. His contemporaries spoke of him. Those that lived along in his time. Some of these very same people that heard the Jews say, who do you make yourself out to be? Look what it says in Mark 6 and 3. His contemporaries. Is not this the carpenter? Who is this Jesus? His contemporaries said, is not this the carpenter? That's Joseph's son. We know who this is. Making himself to be some big shot. We know who he is. He's standing right before us. Jesus answers in verse 4 of Mark chapter 6, a prophet is honored everywhere else except in his own home. See? Men say today, who is this Jesus? I know him. He's just a man in history. A man that lived. And Jesus responded and he says, you see, they won't even accept him. Let's use me as an example. Sister Moaning remembers me when I was her great-grandson's age, coming around here, okay? Nobody ever would have thought that I'd be preaching. They said, who is this John? Who's this? Who is this? I know that kid.
I don't know where he was. He was the worst in the Sunday school. Who is this guy? Anyhow, a preacher? Him? I know his family. They're right here with us in Compton out there. I know his dad. Who is he making himself out to be? I don't accept his ministry. I don't accept his words. I'd have to say like Jesus, a prophet isn't even on in his own home. It's all right. John making himself to be some prophet, speaking for God? Absolutely. It was not a choice of mine. It was a choice of God. And that's what makes the difference. Look at John chapter 7, verse 15. Jesus' contemporaries talking, and the Jews marvel, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" The basis of my belief. Listen who they're talking about. Jesus. Jesus talking, preaching, teaching, and the Pharisee says, "How does this man know the letters of doctrine, the letters of law? He didn't study with us. He didn't go through our rabbinical schools. He didn't come through and get the teachings from our great philosophers. How does this man know these things? Who is this Jesus?" Jesus was knowledge himself, wrapped up in human flesh. Think of him at 12 years old in the temple, debating with the doctors of law. Isn't that beautiful? Housed with knowledge, wrapped in human flesh. His own contemporary says, "How does it happen? How does he know this?" Jesus is the Son of God. He is the basis of my belief. I'm to put my trust in him totally. Amen. In John chapter 7, verse 46, we see more contemporaries of Jesus speaking. "The officers answered the Jews when they returned and said, 'Never man spake like this man.'" Who is this Jesus? Who are you? That when the officers are sent out to arrest you, they get arrested. You see what happened? And now here we are in the 20th century church today, and someone asks you about your Savior, your Lord, you cannot give an answer. I'll tell you, his contemporaries did. He said, "Never a man spake like this." How could a mere man speak like that? For Jesus is God made flesh. That's who I worship. He is the basis of my Christianity. Not me. Whenever you argue in defense of the gospel, never use yourself as the argument, because you're going to lose. He came to save a sinner like me, and that gives me a great amount of joy. And he came to save a sinner like you, and he's still in the saving business. Let's speak further about his contemporaries in Luke 4:32. "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." Who is this Jesus that they questioned? They were astonished at his doctrine, and his word was with power. And that same word today can work power in your life when you let him. As it is today, it was yesterday. His word transforms lives. It establishes homes, and it reconciles the fallen. That's what his word does, because it is with power. So the question is this, and we have to answer this. Was Jesus merely an imposter? We have to answer that question. Did he attempt to win men by assuming divinity or authority? No. And this is the reason. Now, I want to give you a little bit in defense of your faith, because a lot of people are going to say, well, Jesus was an imposter. Have any of you heard of the swoon theory? They say that when Jesus supposedly died on Calvary, that he didn't really die. He just kind of fainted, and he never died. Oh, yes, the swoon theory. They try to teach you that, he just fainted. And that when they took him off the cross, he was revived, and his disciples thought that they saw a man that was dead, but he really wasn't dead. He was an imposter. But no, it couldn't have been that way, because of one primary part of Jesus' ministry. Jesus preached adamantly against hypocrisy. He preached against hypocrisy. So if he preached against hypocrisy in others, he could not be an imposter because he would be preaching against himself. That's just one way to look at this. He would be preaching against himself. If he were an imposter, how could he preach against being a hypocrite? He would be a hypocrite. Jesus is indeed the divine Son of God. C.S. Lewis, the great Christian philosopher writer, wrote in a book called Miracles in 1947, C.S. Lewis said this: his character appears to support his claims, and it is in this fear that we must pursue and investigate him. His character portrays his divinity. The basis of my Christian belief is that he did what he said he would do. And another one, he does it in my life and in the life of the church today. And I dare Christians to trust him. What about you, the listener? Do you trust him? Do you trust him in your prayers? Do you trust him in your commitment? Do you trust the auspices in this church, organizations, to Jesus Christ? Do you trust the decisions that your officers and that your pastoral people make to Christ? Do you trust that the decisions that are being made are trustworthy based on the center and circumstances?